blackness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio. I am your host, Abraham Hamilton III, joined by the Corner Contingent, Mr. Bobby Tariff Man Rosa. He's not really the Tariff Man. That would be Mr. Trump. We are joined by producer extraordinaire, often imitated, never duplicated. The real J Mac is in the screening room, ladies and gentlemen, and we are ready to rock and roll with this edition of the program. There is a lot that transpired over the weekend. Much of it actually started toward the latter part of last weekend. Trade deals, actually framework for trade deals. First, the UK, that was the first domino to drop. Then China. Framework for a trade deal with China. You had the cessation of hostilities between India and Pakistan. You had Eden Alexander, the American Israeli who was taken hostage. I was learning about his story. Actually, the first male abducted by Hamas on October 7th. The young man literally had recently graduated from high school because he had dual citizenship. Took a gap year, and during which he joined the Israeli Defense Forces and had been taken captive there. And he had been in Hamas custody for 584 days. Wow. Thankfully, he's now been released and returned to his family. So much is happening. I know the day was yesterday, but let me wish all the moms who are listening to this program right now a happy belated Mother's Day. I hope you were celebrated yesterday and that you were able to celebrate as well, because moms are central to God's plan for building his kingdom. The world should be grateful to and for mothers. And contrary to what the world says, I know, and more importantly, the scripture explains that being a mother is one of the most important people in the entire world. And moms, we are grateful to God for you. At this very moment, many of you, if not most of you, are making your transition from your part-time jobs where you generate an income to your full-time jobs, where you cultivate an outcome. And as you do so, I'd remind you to do so with intentionality, understanding the primacy that God places on family, recognizing that if you are in the place and in the stage where you have young people, young children in your home, or children, regardless of how young they are, to understand that you don't get to repeat ages. You know, so what we must do, we must do quickly. And I'll just add in to this exhortation that intentional teaching and instruction is important. But some of the most important teaching that we are going to do is the teaching that is done by our examples. And this is one of those areas where there's no middle ground. Our examples will either be runways or obstacle courses for our children. Our examples will be guideposts and runways for our children to see and do likewise, or it will be obstacle courses that our children will have to overcome and to avoid and duck under, climb over, dodge in order to fulfill God's purposes for their lives. And the simple fact is that there's no middle ground. It is either runways or obstacles. Of course, there could be a combination, but when there is a combination, you actually end up diluting the potency of the runway version, if you will. With that, let us turn to the Word of God. Deuteronomy chapter 4 is where we're going, where we're going to go. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Because as we celebrate and celebrated mothers, I just want to take a few moments to point you to Scripture, to where God provides us in His holy word a vision. He casts a vision for us, for not only the stage of life as mothers and fathers, but also grandmothers and grandfathers. God has given us in His word a roadmap, if you will, or should I say a vision for the grand parental life stage. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Just by way of reminder, the book of Deuteronomy is the deuterocanonical expression of Moses. It simply means second telling. He recounts much of what is recorded in Numbers and Leviticus, but he does so for a new audience, if you will. The second generation of wilderness Israelites are receiving instruction from Moses through the book of Deuteronomy in anticipation and preparation for entrance into the promised land. That's what the book of Deuteronomy is. Many, you'll recall, every Israelite over the age of 20 years old, except for Caleb and Joshua, passed away in the wilderness before entering the promised land. There were children who came out of Egypt who became adults in the wilderness. There were actually children who were born in the wilderness. And so Moses is preparing a second generation. And here Moses is being basically quoted in this passage. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 5 through 9. I don't think I said that yet. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 5 through 9. And this is what the Word of God says. See, I have taught you statutes and judgments, just as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do thus in the land where you are entering to possess it. Turn my page. So keep and do them, for that is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples, who will hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as is the Lord our God, whenever we call on? Or what great nation is there that has statutes and judgments as righteous as this whole law, which I am setting before you today? Only give heed to yourself and keep your soul diligently, so that you do not forget the things which your eyes have seen, and they do not depart from your heart all the days of your life, but make them known to your sons and grandsons. Some translations there says, make them known to your children and your grandchildren. This is one of, not the exclusive, but one of the passages of Scripture that the Spirit of God moves Moses to convey, that these second generation wilderness Israelites should have a vision already in their hearts and minds for how their lives are to impact their grandchildren. This is the deuterocanonical expression of the same principle in Proverbs 13:22, which says that a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. No doubt about it, the text in Proverbs is regarding material inheritance, but it is not excluding the non-material portions of the inheritance that a good man would leave. And I would argue that in many ways, the non-material portions are even more important. The material is important, but it's not more important than the non-material. And I want you to take note of the manner in which this is expressed. You, my brother, my sister, should be cognizant of the prospective impact and influence that you could have, that you should have on your children and grandchildren. But look at what it says. But in order to have that type of impact in a godly way, I would say, the text says in verse 9, only give heed to yourself. Consider yourself, keeping your soul diligently. What Moses is saying very clearly is that one of the primary ways that you can set the course for influencing the generations that follow you in a godly manner is by how you and I live now. As we celebrate and have celebrated Mother's Day, can we also have a vision for grandmothers? Can we have a vision for grandfathers? Do you want to be the kind of pop-pop where the grandchildren are being told, well, you know, pop-pop-pop, you know, he was a rolling stone. You don't want to be like pop-pop in these areas. Or do you want to be able to say, yeah, man, granddad was diligent. He kept his soul diligently. His work ethic reflected his commitment to his Lord. He was a worshiper in all he did. And it is because of his influence that I have been postured and positioned in this kind of way. And it is the cumulative impact of granddad and for me, your father, that we have laid the foundation for you to build from, son, to move towards godliness. Grandmothers, what kind of legacy do you want to have as a grandmother? And I know we have many grandmothers and grandfathers in this audience. We have some people who are not grandmothers and grandfathers. Regardless of your life stage, by the Lord's grace, should the Lord tarry, and here's the reality. Yes, we should live as if the Lord is at hand because he is. The believer rightly has an earnest expectation of Jesus' return. And it is because we have that earnest expectation of Jesus' return that we live and we work while it is day. Because Jesus has given us commands as to how we are to conduct ourselves in anticipation of his return. So it's not an either or, it's a both and. Because heaven is my home and I cannot wait to behold my King face to face, that it informs and influences the way I live right now. And should my Lord tarry to the place to where I'm blessed to see my grandchildren, I want to have a godly impact on the lives of my grandchildren. I want to leave the type of example that the scripture lays out here. So that we give heed to ourselves and keep our souls diligently, so that we do not forget the things which the Lord has done in our lives, the things that our eyes have seen, that these things will not depart from our hearts all the days of our lives, but make them known to our children and our grandchildren. I'm mindful of my brother JJ's testimony, how he talked about his grandmother praying for him. That's the enduring memory in his mind and his heart, was his grandmother stretched out in prayer for him particularly. And then when God saved his soul, the Lord reminded him, man, your grandmother prayed for you. And he testified right here in this studio, sitting right in his chair, his eyes dripping with tears, that he's a living testimony to God answering his grandmother's prayers. Guys, this is real. This is real. One of the components of being a Christ follower is that God gives us generational view. We recognize that we live for eternity from eternity, and our lives are not our own. We've been bought with a price. That we're willful servants of our King. And by God's grace, our lives could be an introduction to those around us to the discipline of Christ following. It is vitally important that the body of Christ rediscovers, first and foremost, the centrality of the family to God's plan for his kingdom. Secondarily, the significance of fathers and mothers. Thirdly, to recognize that not only the significance of fathers and mothers, but that grandfathers and grandmothers has the capacity to influence their children in a Godward direction and their grandchildren in a Godward direction. But the bulk, the fulcrum, the most potent components of that influence is going to come from our lived examples. Only give heed to yourself and keep your soul diligently so that you do not forget the things which your eyes have seen and they do not depart from your heart all the days of your life, but make them known to your children and your grandchildren. The Word of God gives us vision for the grand parental stage of our lives. And we would do well to recognize that we put feet to that vision starting right here and right now. What type of legacy, by God's grace, do you want to leave for your grandchildren? Lord willing, even your great-grandchildren. It's going to turn on the quality or the lack thereof with which we live before the risen King.
A Discipleship Minute with Joseph Parker.
What should a pro-life church look like? It's a church that will prayerfully consider encouraging members to volunteer at local pregnancy centers and to volunteer for other pro-life ministries. It's a church that would prayerfully consider supporting a baby clothes closet with diapers, clothes, wipes, and other needed items. It's a church that will prayerfully consider becoming a sanctuary church. They will help moms who find themselves expecting a baby at a difficult time. They will come alongside a mother who feels all alone and walk with her through her term of pregnancy and beyond. It's a church that will learn about important pro-life outreach ministries that are doing vital work to end legalized abortion in different ways. Am I really seeking to honor the Lord in doing what He would have me to do as an individual disciple of Christ to help stand for life?
Shining light into the darkness. This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Things. What an eventful weekend. Really, dating back to the latter part of last week. And I had this story in my stack. I didn't get to it. But I feel like it's appropriate to announce this, to address it now and to do so first because the first major nation domino, if you will, to drop in this economic, I would say, resettling on the global stage, which really I think is for once and for all exposed the fallacy that has been globalization, you know, globalism and, you know, free trade. Thanks to President Trump, the whole world, more importantly, the American citizens, I'll say this frankly, are being confronted with the fact and being introduced to just how unfair the international trade scheme has been. So the latter part of last week, the announcement was made both from the United States of America and from the United Kingdom that the framework for a trade deal had been established between the United States of America and the United Kingdom. Listen to and watch clip number two. Clip number two. Go. I don't think that was clip number two. I thought the Bobby was about to break out.
This morning, I'm thrilled to announce that we have reached a breakthrough trade deal with the United Kingdom. Incredible country. Today is a victory day for World War II. We won the war together exactly 80 years ago. Today's agreement with the UK is the first in a series of agreements on trade that my administration has been negotiating over the past 4 weeks. The deal includes billions of dollars of increased market access for American exports, especially in agriculture, dramatically increasing access for American beef, ethanol, and virtually all of the products produced by our great farmers. In addition, the UK will reduce or eliminate numerous non-tariff barriers that unfairly discriminated against American products. But this is now turning out, I think, really to be a great deal for both countries.
Now, with these trade deals, the framework was announced, but in the announced provisions of the framework, so obviously the details will have to be, we'd have to delve into the details once they're available. But what has been announced to date between the United States of America and the United Kingdom is that Britain's tariffs on U.S. goods will drop to 1.8%, yet the United Kingdom will still have a 10% tariff on imports from the United Kingdom. In addition to that, the framework allows for the importation from the United Kingdom of 100,000 vehicles for a 10% tariff. And the United Kingdom will also be allowed to export to the U.S. Rolls-Royce engines and airplane parts to the United States tariff-free. And Britain will purchase $10 billion worth of Boeing airplanes from the United States. All of this was announced Thursday last week. Then, you may recall, last week I covered for you how China was saying publicly, pounding its chest, chest that, well, the Americans are raising tariffs on us. We're going to raise our tariffs on the Americans, on American goods, 125%. So the U.S. was at 145% after April 2nd. China was at 125% on American goods. Rah, 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 trade war, trade war, trade war. The U.S. Treasury Secretary said those rates, tariff rates, are effectively an embargo from both nations. Then what happened was a little birdie slid me a little note. See, wait a minute. China is whitelisting certain U.S. goods, exempting them from the tariff increase. Then I perused a little bit of the goings-on in China, and I found that they had factories in their nations, in their nation, closing overnight. Like, a factory worker would go to work one day, then the next morning would go back to work, and the factory was closed. Others had been going to work, and they were expecting their paycheck, and the 2 weeks went by, and no pay. And so that led to all kinds of protests breaking out all over China, and I reported that to you. Then, as that was being reported, I then reported the United States of America was planning to send its trade delegation to Switzerland to negotiate with the Swiss. But in preparations for that trip, the Chinese contacted the U.S. trade delegation and said, might we have a word with you while you are in Switzerland? We'd like to have a conversation. They didn't say it that way, which I thought was, huh. And I told you guys that wasn't a part of the original plan, but then that happened. And so, as I said, the plan was they would start talking. They would have 2 days of discussions culminating this over the weekend, which led to first President Trump announcing it on social media. And then this morning, we had press conferences, even a joint statement issued by the United States and China, indicating that the two nations, the two largest economies in the world, had come to a framework of an agreement between the two countries. Listen to and watch clip number three. Clip three, go.
Yesterday, we achieved a total reset with China after productive talks in Geneva. Both sides now agreed to reduce the tariffs imposed after April 2nd to 10% for 90 days as negotiators continue in the larger structural issues. And I want to tell you that a couple of things. First of all, that doesn't include the tariffs that are already on, that are our tariffs, and it doesn't include tariffs on cars, steel, aluminum, things such as that, or tariffs that may be imposed on pharmaceuticals, because we want to bring the pharmaceutical businesses back to the United States, and they're already starting to come back now based on tariffs because they don't want to pay 25, 50, or 100% tariffs, so they're moving them back to the United States.
Now, I will talk a little bit about the details that we have concerning the framework, but can we just pause for a moment? Because the UK announcement was a big, big deal, but this thing with China, this is very significant. I'm just going to tell you now that China has entered this, 90-day pause with an adjustment of tariff rates, but it does not include the adjustment of tariff rates that were in place prior to April 2nd. Okay, well, I'm going to get to that in a moment. I'm just going to tell you, you should expect to see more of these deals announced going forward, because all that has to happen is one or two of the big dogs come to a place of negotiation, and then everybody else is going to recognize, because the United States and China are the two largest economies in the world. Yeah, all right. Most of the people that produce stuff and buy stuff, at some point they're interacting with the United States and China. That's just a fact. All right. So, what are some of the particularities? First, both sides have agreed to reduce their tariff percentages by 115%. So what that means is, and this is on 115% on the post-April 2nd tariff increase. So on that front, both the U.S. and China had reduced back to 10% tariffs reciprocally apiece. However, that does not include the tariffs that existed before, that were in place from the U.S. against China before April 2nd. So the effective rates, according to the joint statement that will take effect as of Wednesday in this particular manner, will be 10% on U.S. imports to China and 30% tariffs on Chinese imports to the United States of America. This is a part of a 90-day pause in which further negotiations are going to take place. The U.S. Treasury Secretary has announced that tariffs won't decline from this level, but the deal was brokered this weekend to bring an end to the trade embargo between the world's two largest economies and is the end of de-escalation. Now, as you might imagine, Bobby can tell you how the markets responded. But this is a very significant development. Now, obviously, the details are going to matter much. The 90-day framework is put in place basically to allow the two nations to continue negotiation on the additional details between that are going to be in place for trade between the nations. But when you have an agreement to negotiate that basically says everybody put your six shooters away while we hammer this thing out, that's kind of a big deal. It's kind of a big deal. And this reduction doesn't include, as I said, the pre-April 2nd tariffs that the Trump administration had imposed concerning fentanyl. Those are still in place. But this is a very big deal. The joint statement released by the two nations reads thus: May 12th, 2025, the government of the United States of America and the government of the People's Republic of China, recognizing the importance of their bilateral economic and trade relationship to both countries and the global economy, recognizing the importance of a sustainable, long-term, mutually beneficial economic and trade relationship, reflecting on their discussions and believing that continued discussions have the potential to address the concerns of each side in their economic and trade relationship, and moving forward in the spirit of mutual opening, continued communication, cooperation, and mutual respect, the parties commit to take the following actions by May 14, 2025. And he goes on to talk about the details of the framework agreement that was brokered that the two nations have jointly announced today, which is a big deal. Now, I got a drum and I'm gonna keep beating it. I think this is a good step. I believe we ultimately need to decouple from China. I do believe that's important for our national security. I think this is an effective step in the right direction. I think we need to deal with China as China is and has expressed itself to be, which is a nation that seeks to thwart our nation. They're an enemy of our nation, no doubt about it. But we also have to deal in the world as it exists currently. So you can't. You hear the old expression, Rome wasn't built in a day. You cannot do everything all at once. But this is a gigantic leap in the right direction. And y'all know my stance. When President Trump is wrong, he's wrong. When he's right, he's right. And the mainstream media is not going to do this. The lying snakes are not going to do this. President Trump needs to be applauded in this regard. There's not been a president within the last half century that's been willing to take China on. There hasn't been one. There hasn't been one. On this, he needs to be applauded. What else would have brought the Chinese to the negotiation table? Certainly wasn't sending old crackhead Hunter over there to Air Force Two to secure another bag for the big guy. That sure wasn't going to do it, you know. So, and if you follow the stock markets, And some reports is indicating that all that had been lost in the stock market when the tariffs were initially announced, that's all been recovered. So some of you who have 401ks and things of that nature, you probably want to check your statements. You probably want to check. And of course, this is just, you know, the stock market is volatile and this is very early, but it's a pretty, pretty, pretty significant deal. All right, that's where President Trump should be applauded. Now we have this other deal. Well, I'm not so sure about this one. Because this morning, the other thing you had to say, man, President Trump works. I mean, he hit the ground running. It doesn't seem like he stopped at all. Does it seem like that? I mean, you got this going on. You got that going on. He does little things to keep, you know, the lying media buzzing. You know, he throws things out there and they go over there. Gulf of America. China tariff. You know. Oh, well, you know, hey, I'm out. Greenland won't rule it out. Pharmaceutical drug prices. It's something to watch. It's something to watch. Now, as I mentioned, the pharmaceutical. By the way, let me add this in real quick. I probably finish this segment with this. Did y'all see this story? And this is on the cultural front and really a biblical worldview front. So, do you remember how the employees at Disney and executives at Disney went overboard? Ron DeSantis, and they lied about the legislation that was passed in Florida. Florida passed legislation that said you can't talk about sexual orientation in pre-K, kindergarten, first grade, second grade, and third grade. You can't talk about it. And these liars went on and on saying, he passed a don't say gay bill. Remember that? Lying through their teeth. That's not even what the legislation said. Did you see what just happened with Disney? You know where the next Disney World theme park is being opened? Oh, yeah. Where is it going to be opened? Abu Dhabi. They don't have human rights. The United Arab Emirates. You know what happens to people who are charged with the crime of homosexuality in Abu Dhabi? It's a capital crime. It's a capital offense. So I'll just ask you this question. Do you think the people over at Disney were having a principled stance when they were objecting to what was happening with Ron DeSantis? It's perverts, man. They want to corrupt American children. But they'll avoid the ability to corrupt Emirati's children as long as they could, you know, put another theme park in Abu Dhabi. It just shows the utter hypocrisy, but it also should highlight for you just how insidious and how evil some of these people at Disney are. Because they want to corrupt your kids, but if the price is right, you know, we'll abandon the children corrupting phenomenon as long as we can get Mickey out there next to the Abu Dhabi Emiratis.
Weekday mornings at 8 Central, Pastor Jeff Shreve offers real truth for today.
I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries.
The world around us is rapidly changing, but God and His truth will never change.
I may be the host of the show, but I want God's Word and His truth to be the star of the show.
Join Pastor Jeff Shreve each weekday morning at 8 Central for Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio.
Hello, my name is Andy Miller, and I'm the president of Wesley Biblical Seminary based in Ridgeland, Mississippi. We are developing trusted leaders for faithful churches, and we do that based in the authority of Scripture and in the reality that Christians can be transformed. We do that also through bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees. We'd love for you to learn more about Wesley Biblical Seminary at wbs.edu, where we're developing trusted leaders for faithful churches.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. You know, it's... these people, man... If it wasn't for double standards, they wouldn't have any standards at all. And when you see the insidious effort, you know, to see what these people have done with Walt Disney's legacy, you know, it is really, really disturbing because they'll use the money that they're going to make from Abu Dhabi to continue to try to foist their agenda on countries that don't have the boldness or don't employ the legal framework to say, nah, you can't do that. You know, when you think about, and I think about this a lot, that we're the nation, we're the world where, you know, moving pictures were introduced to the world from our country. They used to have a code called the William Hays Code. Some portions of it were just like, come on, man. But a lot of it, there were a lot of good things in it because they recognized the influence that moving pictures would have on people and on society and the culture where the moving picture was used as the technological innovation developed to the place where you could have them. You know, they used to have things like you would never create a moving picture where evil would triumph. You know, they had codes for sexual ethics, how you depict married people, the whole deal, you know. And then as it stands right now, some of these same people, they'll make a film and they'll edit it for China and they'll edit it for the Muslim nations, but they'll foist all the smut on our own nation. And now you have Disney doing the same thing. You think they're going to have a man hopping around in a dress doing Hansel and Gretel in Abu Dhabi? You think that? Nah, that ain't going to happen. They're sure going to use the prophets and try to influence the minds of the American people and other Western nations. It's really sickening. It's really sickening. All right, I was getting to this where there are competing notions. And this is related to President Trump's executive order that he announced today. I'll give kind of an overview, then I have a clip for you on it. And that is President Trump and his effort to deliver on his promise to put America first signed an executive order this morning targeted at slashing prescription drug costs for the American people. The simple fact, and this is one of the things that many people may not even be aware of, that you can have the exact same medication produced by the exact same company with the exact same branding sold 2, 3, 4, 5 times more in terms of costs here in America with the exact same medication in another nation is exponentially cheaper. Like you have some medications that are $2,000 in America, it's $20 overseas from the same company. Because what's happening, I should say, if you have any international travel experience, and especially in certain countries where you pay, it's called the American tax. You heard of that? I know you experienced that, Bobby. Certain nations you go, oh, they see you coming. They detect you're American. The price all of a sudden, it goes up. And that's a crude representation, but that's what's happening with the pharmaceutical drug industry. And a lot of it is happening because a lot of the medication costs are covered by insurance. And so a lot of people don't even look at what it costs, just see what the insurance companies are billed. That's what's happening largely. You ever had the experience to go to a hospital, go to a medical care provider, and you tell them your cash pay and see how the price changes? Like, wait a minute. Why doesn't this cost? I'm getting beside myself on this. But President Trump, hearing the cries of the American people, you know, why is my insulin so much more expensive? The exact same insulin in another country that's produced by an American pharmaceutical company. Why does it cost me so much more? But President Trump issued his executive order, signed his executive order today, in which he will roll out a, quote, most favored nation policy, where he simply is asserting that the United States of America's citizens are going to pay what other citizens around the world pay. Listen to him talk about this policy. It's clip number four. Clip four, go.
Why doesn't somebody fight the drug price situation, meaning equalization? There's a term, it's called equalization. Nobody wants to mention that term. And I'm not knocking the drug companies. I'm really more knocking the countries than the drug companies because they're forced to do things. But the drug lobby is the strongest lobby in this country, they say, the drug lobby. It's between that and lawyers. And they have a lot of power. But starting today, the United States will no longer subsidize the health care of foreign countries, which is what we were doing. We're subsidizing others' health care. Countries where they paid a small fraction of what for the same drug that what we pay many, many times more for, and will no longer tolerate profiteering and price gouging from Big Pharma. But again, it was really the countries that forced Big Pharma to do things that, frankly, I'm not sure they really felt comfortable doing, but they've gotten away with it, these countries. European Union has been brutal, brutal.
So on the one hand, immediately, it's like, of course. This is insane. We have 5 to 7% of the global population, but pharmaceutical companies make 75%+ of its their profits from the American market alone. You have these companies selling their drugs in America, making their profit, and literally we are subsidizing the cost of the medications for other countries around the world. How is that right? But then on the other hand, haven't we tried price controls, governmental price controls before? How does the concept of price controls affect a free market? Buzzword there, ding, 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 free market. Has there really been a free market with medications? The data shows that the United States of America is the largest purchaser of medications in the world, and the American purchaser pays on average, or pays as much as 10 times as much for medications from major drug companies than other nations, for example, like Germany. So on the one hand, my spidey senses go off and say, whoa, so is the president going to put in a governmental price control? Is that what we're doing? Or is there another way? Is there another way? Now, this is another one of those, I'm going to say, we have to see how this is going to be implemented. Because according to the executive order, President Trump has directed Health and Human Services Secretary Robert Kennedy to set, quote, clear targets for prescription drug and pharmaceutical price reductions within 30 days. Now, again, the art of the deal. Going to make a big, beautiful deal. According to those closest to the president, they say that his hope is that this executive order will introduce negotiations between the department, Health and Human Services, and pharmaceutical and the prescription drug industries to see if there can be a voluntary, negotiated means to reduce prices domestically and to shoulder and to shift some of the desire and the efforts to generate profits away from America. Like, you literally have a scenario where you have some companies that make almost all of their profits in America, and they're literally giving the drugs away at cost to other nations. So that's, once again, the big United States of America literally subsidizing these costs for the rest of the world. Into which when you keep going through these things and all of these things are being exposed, like the stuff that Doge is doing, and then you see the massive trade imbalances. You know, many people, I say it myself, I didn't know there was a trade imbalance between the United States of America and Israel. Maybe I just took it for granted. I don't know. I didn't know that. When you see we have all of these things going on, it makes me want to say, what have other presidents been doing? President Trump attempted to do something along this line in his initial term, but his regulation change got stymied in the courts, and the Biden administration just dropped it, so they didn't follow through with it. Why have we allowed all these? Why do we allow a pharmaceutical industry? And this could be my ignorance about the pharmaceutical industry, and I'm open to that. You know, there may be some of you in the audience right now that could help me with some insight, but how do we allow there to get to the place where our nation, a large nation, no doubt, economically robust, no doubt, but population-wise, we're not as large as some of the other nations. How is it that our nation that is producing pharmaceutical companies that are selling medications all over the world, but 75-80% of the profits are being made off of the American? How's that, of the American medication purchaser? That is a problem. That is a problem. Have we had leaders in our nation, or we had people that were selling our nation out for their own aggrandizement and financial gain? I mean, I know all of these things have gone by, but I thought it was very telling. You know, off the top, we got to save a cut for the big guy. We just going to shrug our shoulders. Yeah. Gain of function research. Oh, it's outlawed in America. Oh, Fauci, we'll still do it. We'll fund it. We'll just do it overseas. Fauci lies under oath. Pardon. Guys, it's becoming increasingly clear. We've had people in positions of public service that haven't been serving publicly. They've been serving private means, not least of which includes the lining of one's pockets. How do you just look the other way and watch your own nation get hollowed out like this? You know, is this a part of, you know, what you know, Barack Hussein Obama attempted to do? You know, we have to be a part of rebalancing the world to bring America down, so that we can fit into the globalist hole, you know? This is troubling, man. This is troubling. So on this drug pricing deal, I call the economic deals a straight up win with the UK and China. President Trump is winning on that front. I'm not sure about this one. We'll see. I still obviously support the president, but I'm going to be honest about these things. I hope this works out well. And like I've said in other areas, he's earned the right to wait and see. So I'm not going to come out here slamming him. How do we get to the place when we're allowed the U.S. purchaser to subsidize the purchase of medications for the whole world? That doesn't make sense to me. I'll end the show with this, and this is something that's just been bothering me, man. That's just been bothering me. That we are witnessing the erosion of the family in our own nation. I've talked to you guys about the demographic winter that's transpiring in other nations. It's coming to rest in our own country. We're not reproducing enough Americans to replace the existing population. There's never been a civilization that has thrived that hasn't had solid nuclear family at the nucleus. You know, there's a phenomenon, and this is men, but it's happening with women too. Like you had, you know, Tracee Ellis Ross coming out, you know, she's such a, you know, she's a boss. She can't do nothing but date young men. It's like, really, that's what it is? And then you had, you know, Shannon Sharp. Stu started pursuing for romantic relationships a 19-year-old. This dude is in his late 50s, over 50. And now he's in a scandalous lawsuit to where he's been accused of, you know, he's been accused civilly of sexual assault, and his defense is, oh, it's consensual. I'm like, dude, with a child? Like, with 19 when you met her, what, 21, 22 years old now? And then you got Bill Belichick, one of, if not the greatest football coaches in American history, certainly the greatest defensive football coach in American history. You still got a 24-year-old girlfriend, and they've been with each other since 2021. So that's 4 years ago. Simple math, let's say it was not a full 4 years, 3 years ago. You're 70 years old with a 20-year-old? You don't, there's no conscious and ick factor for you with that? What's going on with us, man? We got men who's supposed to have wisdom. But they're pursuing 30, 40, 50 years at junior. That's insane. I can't help but think about Hebrews 5. At the time you should have wisdom to offer, you have need to be taught again. Something is happening terribly.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.